I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, the importance of Bible preaching. I want you to hear me well. I'm going to give you something tonight toward the end of the message that may come as a surprise to you about this importance of Bible preaching. So I want you to stay with me through the entire message. The preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is to them that perish foolishness. Now, anybody who would diminish the importance of preaching, that puts them in a pretty bad crowd, doesn't it? Because those that perish, preaching is foolishness to them. I love old-fashioned Bible preaching. I'm concerned today that we're now seeing a result of a lack of Bible preaching, not only in our churches, but we're seeing a result of this in our society as well, especially in the last decade or so. We're seeing the result of the lack of Bible preaching in many ways, the dwindling respect for decency and right, the open rebellion against decency and right, and it's obvious in both attitude and behavior toward right and godly people. I believe that the Holy Spirit uses, because God has ordained it, I believe the Holy Spirit uses the foolishness or the simplicity of preaching to accomplish His will in our life. I want you to notice, not only does God value preaching, He does not very well respect the wisdom of the world. And He tells us in this passage of Scripture that the wisdom of the world will come to naught. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? He said, I'll bring all of that wisdom of the world to naught. And He said, by the wisdom of the world, by the wisdom of men, the world was not changed. The world is not changed by the wisdom of men. The world is changed by the preaching of the Word of God. The wisdom of this world will never produce what Bible preaching will produce. Psychiatry will never produce what preaching of the Word of God will produce. America doesn't need a new generation of psychiatrists. It needs a new generation of Bible preachers. Counseling will not produce what the preaching of the Word of God will produce. We don't need a new generation of professional counselors. We need a new generation of old-fashioned Bible preachers. I'm not ashamed to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading books and writing books will never produce what the preaching of the Word of God will produce. America was built rock solid on this book being preached in the classroom, being preached in the home, being preached in the local church and in open-air meetings. You read our history. You go back to the old country and read the preaching of men like Whitfield and Spurgeon and Bunyan and others that preached this blessed Word of God that gave life and hope to a nation of people that wanted freedom, not to be restricted by a government church or a state church, but to preach in freedom the blessed Word of God. And men like Moody and Sunday and R.G. Lee and John Rice and Charles Finney and on, the list goes. They have preached the Word of God in America to make it a strong nation. I contend that it was and is the preaching of this book that produces spiritual fruit from conception and birth to holiness in living. We need in this country more preachers of the Word of God. Now, the word preacher or preaching has more than one definition or application in the Bible. First of all, certainly preaching is talking about what I'm doing right now. Preaching in the church, behind a pulpit as a pastor or an evangelist preaches to the local church. Paul told Timothy, that young pastor, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He told him not just to preach, but to preach the Word of God. That is one application of preaching. But then the Bible tells us or teaches us that the daily work of witnessing, sharing the gospel, or what we call soul winning, He also calls that preaching. Stay with me just for a minute, if you will. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Go to those familiar verses beginning in verse number... Let's just go to verse number 9. All of these are great verses that we use often in our soul winning and winning folks to Christ, very simply given. Why anyone would want to complicate getting saved, I don't know. God didn't give His Son to die on the cross to make it hard for you to get saved. God gave His Son to die on the cross that you may get saved as a gift. It's not earned. It's not worked for. It's not purchased. It's a gift already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess, verse number 9, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's man, woman, boy, or girl. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word preacher comes from the Greek word keroso, K-E-R-O-O-S-O, and it means to proclaim a truth as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you this to think about. When Philip joined himself to the chair, the Ethiopian eunuch had been down to Jerusalem for to worship. He was on his way home. He was reading the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit prompted him and led him to go to that chariot. And he noticed that he was reading the Word of God. And he asked him the question, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? Listen to these words, Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip was a preacher. He was a deliverer of the gospel. You see, preaching takes place everywhere the Word of God is proclaimed. You ought to preach the gospel this week. The gospel is preached. The Word is preached in church. The gospel is preached in the streets, in the hospital, in nursing home, in houses, wherever one is proclaiming the truths of God's Word. Now, there is a foundation for Bible preaching, a foundation for Bible preaching that cannot be overlooked, or it is not preaching, but it is simply a speech or a lecture. Don't miss this now. And by the way, America will never have revival from speeches. America will never have revival from lecture. Please God, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would, or save them that believe. This has gone so far that in America we've even changed the way we're building buildings today to accommodate the new activities. And I'm going to give you some amazing things at the end of the message tonight. Some of the new activities. We've gotten rid of the pulpits of wood. We've gotten rid of everything that looks like a church to try to make the world feel comfortable today. And it's a shame. And there's no change being made in our society because lectures don't change people. Speeches don't change people. The preaching of the Word of God changes people. Now, there is a foundation for Bible preaching, and it is the Bible doctrine of Jesus who came to redeem fallen man. That's the foundation of all preaching. That's the foundation. Friend, if you don't have the foundation, you have nothing to build on. You have sand. Unless you're born again, the principles of the Word of God, oh, you may apply some of them, and you may call yourself a conservative, but the foundation for Bible preaching is that Jesus came to redeem fallen and sinful man. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 3, familiar passage of Scripture. I want you to notice what the Bible says in John chapter 3. The foundation of Bible preaching is the Bible doctrine of Jesus who came to redeem fallen or sinful man. John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now, evidently, those that don't believe in Him are perishing. Now, if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to perish according to that verse right there. But if they believe on Him, they won't perish. They'll have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Notice this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
He didn't come to do what was already done. Man's condemned under sin, under the truth of the Word of God. He's broken the law of God. He needs a Savior. The Bible said He was condemned already. Why? Because He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You check the foundation for any Bible preaching in this book right here, and you'll find that its foundation is Jesus came to redeem fallen man. Now, can I tell you something? If men do not know they're dying in their sins, they don't have a need of a Savior. They don't have knowledge of that need. We've come to the place where everything's a positive speech. Everything's a pat on the back. Everything's a vitamin. Everything is a sugar and honey. Now, friend, can I tell you something? Somebody had to reveal to us that we were perishing, that we were condemned already, and Jesus came to save us from that sin that we might have eternal life. I called your attention to the sermon that Philip preached in Acts chapter 8. Here's what the Bible said. Philip ran thither to meet him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip, the Bible says, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth." In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his wife is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, if you're not still there. Notice, if you will, the sermon that Jesus preached to Nicodemus. This was a sermon, perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached, preached to one man. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except." Here's a word of decision. It's not just, "Hey, just do the best you can. Just be a good man." No, he said, "Except." Now, there's a decision that has to be made right here. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. I want you to notice a part of Stephen's sermon. I want you to go down to verse number 51. We'll see just three verses here. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, we have the deacon Stephen, who is preaching to a group of Jews that hate Christ, who believe Christ is an imposter. They've rejected not only the prophets, but now here these Jews are rejecting Jesus. And Stephen stands and he preaches and he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one." Notice the foundation of all Bible preaching. The need of a Savior. The coming of Christ. The reason Jesus came. The just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. I say tonight that the foundation of all Bible preaching is built on the premise that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Jesus was not just a man sent from God. He was not just a prophet. He was God in the flesh. He was God, Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Savior. He is the Redeemer. Somehow in our modern age of preaching, we've reduced preaching to positive speeches and heartwarming stories that do nothing more than squeeze the emotions. I contend that when we leave the preaching of the law and the preaching of the Word of God, we've become humanist in our preaching, and we're preaching that man is basically good already and getting better. We must go back to the foundation of Bible preaching, that Jesus came to save fallen man. Notice, if you will, what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Turn your Bibles there. I want you to go down to verse number 7, a powerful verse here. We saw this in my Sunday school class two Sunday mornings ago. Romans chapter 7. Here's a powerful verse that shows us our need of Bible preaching, honest preaching, giving the whole counsel of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Friend, can I tell you something? He did not give us the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus to make a beautiful display for our homes. That's not the only reason they're given. The Ten Commandments are the law. And you know the purpose of the law? It's not so that we can be perfect and go to heaven because of keeping the law. It shows us that we are sinners and that we're in need of a Savior. But friend, if we don't know the law, we don't know what's right and what's wrong, we'll never know our need for salvation. And in this country, if we don't get back to old-fashioned Bible preaching, where we call sin by name, call sin by name, just as the Ten Commandments call it, we'll never have conversions. We'll just have buildings filled with people without the preaching of the law. And sin, we come to believe today that everything is relative and nothing is concrete. Sin is relative. It's comparative. Right and wrong is relative and not concrete. Paul wrote that when he learned of the law of God, he learned that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. Unless we get back to preaching. And I'm not talking about being mean and unkind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about simply saying, look, we've broken the law. We begin by teaching our children to be honest, to do right, and to obey. And it's obvious by their very nature, friend, that they have a sin nature. And to me, it's a beautiful thing to watch as the Holy Spirit begins to convict them that they're sinners. They have a desire to do wrong. But my dear friend, the Holy Spirit convicts them and shows them the need of a Savior. And what a joy it is to kneel down beside a bed or a couch and to hear one of the old children confess that he's a sinner and accept Christ as their personal Savior. What a joy that it is. All over America, people have left Bible preaching churches seeking for a place that is not as hard or not plain about godly living. And as a result, the Walmart churches that have no Bible doctrine, have no old-fashioned preaching, no hymns filled with conviction and Bible doctrine for right living, they filled huge buildings to running over. But wait a minute, they're failing. In recent weeks, what many call the founder of the modern movement of the seeker-friendly church has said publicly, we failed. And our ideas and our theories, they didn't work. I'm going to share with you now one of many articles. These are circulating everywhere. It's not difficult to find. Here's one article I thought worded very well and also quotes Bill Hybels, the founder of the Willow Creek Church there in Chicago. This will surprise you. This article says, if you're older than 40 years old, the name Benjamin Spock is more than familiar. It was Spock that told an entire generation of parents to take it easy. Don't discipline your children and allow them to express themselves. My dad never read that book. I think my mom used it to whip me with one time. But discipline, Spock said, will warp a child's fragile ego. So millions followed the guru of child development, and he remained unchallenged among child-rearing professionals. Before his death, Spock made an amazing discovery. He was wrong. Here's what he said, and I quote, we reared a generation of brats, and we didn't realize it until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents. Now, something just as momentous has happened in the evangelical community. For most of a generation, evangelicals have been romanced by the seeker-sensitive movement, spawned by the Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. The guru of this movement is Bill Hybels. He and others have been telling us for decades now to throw out everything we have previously thought and have been taught about church growth and replace it with a new paradigm, a new way to do ministry. Perhaps inadvertently, this new wave of ministry came a de-emphasis on taking personal responsibility for Bible study combined with an emphasis on felt need-based programs and slick marketing tools. The size of the crowd, rather than the depth of the heart, now determines success. Churches were built by demographic studies, professional strategists, marketing research, meeting felt needs and sermons consistent with these techniques. They were told that preaching is out. Relevance was in. Doctrine didn't matter. And innovation was the important thing. If it's not cutting edge, consumer friendly, it's doomed. The mention of sin, salvation, and sanctification were taboo. They were replaced by Starbucks, strategy, and sensitivity. Thousands of pastors hung on every word that came from the lips of church growth experts. Satellite seminars were packed with hungry church leaders. It affected Lexington in an awful way. Most every city. I mean, it affected Lexington an awful way. You know, churches that were built on old-fashioned Bible preaching, soul-winning, Sunday school teaching the Bible changed. Totally changed. And this is why. Willow Creek released the results of a multi-year study on the effectiveness of their programs and philosophy of ministry. The study's findings are in a new book titled Reveal, Where Are You? Hybels himself calls the findings groundbreaking, earth-shaking, and mind-blowing. The report reveals that most of what they have been doing for these many years and what they have taught millions of others to do is not producing solid disciples of Christ. Numbers, but not disciples. I quote Bill Hybels. He says, some of the stuff that we put millions of dollars into thinking, it would really help our people grow and develop spiritually. When the data actually came back, it wasn't helping people that much. Other things that we didn't put that much money into and didn't put staff against is stuff that our people were crying out for. If you simply want to cry out, the seeker-sensitive model produces results. If you want solid, sincere, mature followers of Christ, it won't work. He continued, we've made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to now take responsibility and become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bible, how to do spiritual practices more aggressively on their own. Incredibly, this guru of church growth now tells us that people need to be reading their Bible and taking personal responsibility. And just as Spock's mistake was no minor error, the error of the seeker-sensitive movement is monumental in its scope. The foundation of thousands of American churches is now discovered to be mere sand. He concludes, our dream is that we fundamentally change the way we do church, that we take out a clean sheet of paper and we rethink now all of our old assumptions, replace it with new insights that are informed by research and now rooted in Scripture. Our dream is really to discover what God is doing and how He's asking us to transform this planet. Can I tell you something, friend? It doesn't take a professor to find out what God wants. Now, after years, here's the sad thing. You can't go back and change all the devastation. Churches that I once preached in that were fundamental, that were soul-winning, that were separated, their music was good. It was hymn singing. It was uplifting. They went to this seeker-friendly, please-the-world crowd, and their church died. The Holy Spirit moved out. Ichabod was written over the door, and now they're looking for something new. My dear friend, I declare to you tonight, we need to stay with the same message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to stay with the same old method that God gave us. And if it's popular, let's do it. If it's not popular, let's do it. But let's occupy how long? Until Jesus comes. That's what He said to do. Now, I'll tell you this, there's going to be another scheme and another plan that's going to come along that's going to sound like an easy way to gather a crowd. Can I tell you something? Our goal is not to gather a crowd. Our goal is to make disciples for Christ. Now, we've got to stay on course. Several statements I want to give you tonight just in review as we conclude the service tonight. Number one, we must keep the Bible as a foundation for our faith and practice. What does God's Word say? That's what I want to know. We've got too many preachers going to seminars and not enough preachers walking with God in the morning. We got too many preachers going looking for easy ideas rather than going to a Bible college that'll teach you how to love people and win souls and learn this book right here and the doctrines of this blessed book. We've got to stay with the old King James Bible, by the way. I believe the King James 1611 is the Word of God for English-speaking people. I believe all the other versions are perversions. I believe that the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, all of them are New Age versions, and we need to stay with the Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. The book of Acts is our guide. Our method and message is still the same. Let me say number two, we need old-fashioned preaching that includes preaching and still naming sin. Now, can I tell you something? Exodus chapter 20 is still in the book. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's still in the book. God doesn't want to be number one. He's the only God. He's the only one. He's the only living God. He's the only one. These are still in the book. The Bible says that we're not to bow down to them, that we're not to make graven images. The Bible says that we're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That'd make for great preaching right there. That's the Bible. You see, that makes folks a little uncomfortable, just folks that curse. Who knows, they may get right with God. They need to know it because the Bible says in this verse right here, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You use God's name in vain, friend. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to punish you for it. That's what the book says. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We know as we go into the New Testament, Christ arose from the grave on the first day of the week. And from that day forward, we give the first day of the week, Sunday, to the Lord as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that Jesus is God. The Bible says, it still tells us to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, things that will take place in the last days. Terrible, unthinkable things. And in the midst of those unthinkable, wicked sins is unthankful, disobedient to parents. But if we'd stay with the Bible, we could produce a generation of young people that are obedient to the mom and dad and honor their mom and dad. Thou shalt not kill. That includes abortion. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's still in the book. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Those are still in the Bible. We need old-fashioned preaching that includes preaching and naming sin. Friend, if I'm sick, I don't want the doctor just to say, well, you need to increase your vitamins. I wish that was the answer for everything, but vitamins don't fix everything. Sometimes the doctor says, you've got to have surgery. And sometimes it has to be taken care of. I give you the third thing. We need to stay with the hymns of the faith. My friend, as the choir sang tonight, and as we sang those wonderful hymns of the faith, my heart was enjoying every word, every tune, every sound. How I enjoy those good old hymns of the faith. I don't want anything that's carnal or worldly. I don't want it brought into the house of God. I don't want it brought in. I don't want my mind to think about those things. I want my mind to think about the things of God in this book and the things that are eternal. We need to be leery of all new methods and new ideas. Let's just say satisfied with God's Word and His instruction. Let's just say satisfied with that. We need to not worry about what some would call old-fashioned. Don't worry about it. You know, the Bible can't be outdated because it's eternal. It doesn't have a date. It always has been, always will be. Jeremiah said, ask for the old paths and walk therein. We need to keep on winning souls and making a difference one person at a time. We need to keep training preachers. Now, sad to say, as they've made full circle, as all the schemes of church building or so-called church building does, as they've made the full circle, somebody will start a new one. I contend, church, let's stay with the old paths. Bible preaching with the foundation of Jesus came to save sinners. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I want you to follow my steps. His steps haven't changed, nor should ours. Just follow His steps. Just occupy until He comes.